Alrighty. So I thought this morning we might talk about the topic of submission. I chose a rather a kind of a fall theme with a leaf. You see how?
I appreciate it. It's not a Christmas tree yet.
Next week I'll throw in some Christmas cheer. Okay. I'll put some flashing lights all the way around it. Now I thought we'd have a little discussion this morning on submission. I've been reading a few things about the idea of submission. I know we talked about in the last few weeks several things with regard to how Satan attacks, and we've kind of curtailed that into some other discussions with the differences between. Actually, that was a week before where we talked about being humble, or maybe 2 weeks before. And so some of that's all going to kind of come together in our discussion today. Because I ran into this particular quote by John Stott, and it made me kind of think about really and truly, when it comes to submission, how hard it is for us to be able to really do it. John Stott classifies submission as, and I'll get there in a second here. I hope. There we are. As he says, if you are a Christian is somebody who not only confesses with his lips that Jesus is Lord, but brings every aspect of his life under the sovereign lordship of Jesus. His opinions, his beliefs, his standards, his values, his ambitions, everything. And it's an all-encompassing statement that he's making here, that we don't get as Christians to compartmentalize anything and hold on to it ourselves. When we are truly in submission, and again, I'm putting the word submission here, but he's saying that this is what a Christian looks like, because a Christian would be in total submission to Christ. And so this picture of handing everything completely over to Christ does not go along with our sinful nature. It doesn't go along with our, especially men, our desire to control and fix things. And if any guy in here tells me we don't have that desire, I'd like to talk to you after class. Because I'm telling you, we have it. It's who we are. You know, when people come to us, especially the women in our lives, come to us and sometimes they just want to talk. And the first thing we try to do is figure out how to fix it. And it doesn't go well. You have to come to the realization that it's just who we are. And that attitude and that point of view, unfortunately, doesn't go very well with being in total submission in a biblical sense. I mean, are there areas of your life that you find where it's very difficult to truly submit to God the way that we are called to?
The opinions, the beliefs. You know, it's something.
I thought you were going to read them all. Well, because
they all are. But I mean, I can look at those two. You know, I'd never seen this statement, but I can know that, you know, before the last couple of years, if I saw somebody put a stupid political statement, something that I felt was stupid on, they got bombed. You know, like I would mercilessly bomb them. And, you know, it started to just, not because of anything that anybody told me or anything, it just started to feel wrong. And I know that's the Holy Spirit. I know it. And, you know, so I can understand. I still have those feelings now. But you know, now it's like I have that feeling. It's like, well, you know, that's not what
this isn't how it's supposed to go.
And if I do this, that's hurting my witness.
That is, yeah, what I think we talk about submission, and then hopefully we'll get into areas here today. I don't want this to be confusing. I want to get through. We're going to talk about levels of submission here in a few minutes, because I want to get to a kind of a conclusion about Jesus and how he gave us this wonderful example when it came to submission. But let's do a little bit of examination here. Let me read this to you. In the New Testament, incidences where the word submit occurs, the word is translated from the Greek word, I assume that is hupotasso, and somehow I just advanced the slides. It says, hupo means under, and tasso means to arrange. The word's full meaning is to obey, to put under, be subject to, submit oneself unto, put in subjection under, or be under obedience or obedient to. But look at that. It's under and to arrange. So it's essentially saying we have this hierarchy of how things should be built. So the word was used as a military term, meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. The word is a wonderful definition of what it means to submit to God. It means to arrange oneself under the command of divine viewpoint rather than to live according to one's way of life based on a human viewpoint. It is a process surrendering our own will to that of our fathers. So in true submission, we are looking first and foremost to God to say, God, in all of these situations, what is it, how is it, and in what direction should we go? And we're not allowing ourselves, and this seems, let me put this in full perspective, okay? If we are in submission to Christ, does that mean, and I'm hoping we can start a discussion here, because this is where I have trouble. Does it mean that when I wake up in the morning and I go into the kitchen and I sit down, should I be looking to the Lord as to what cereal I eat that morning? Should I pray about whether to consume Cheerios or cornflakes or 2% or whole milk? And how do we separate that point of view from what we're being told here, that we should be in complete submission to God? Where do you draw the line, if you will, if it's total submission and we are bending our will completely to God, then where do we say that we get to decide this morning what we eat without first consulting the Lord? Come on, somebody tell me something here.
I think it would be different if you were for breakfast having, you know, a shot glass full of Jack, or shooting yourself up with you know, some kind of crazy drug or something like that. I think that would be, you know, a little bit outside of, you know.
Well, in that situation, you would be submitting to the addiction that you have to these items. Now, it is possible that I could be submitting myself to an addiction when I sit down to eat.
Exactly.
It is possible. But it is also possible that when I sit down to make a decision for what I'm going to eat, that if my mind is set on God and I am looking to make sure that the things that I do are not sinful, then I have freedom to choose from anything that doesn't fall within that sinful category, right? Mm-hmm. So if I am desiring to please God and submit my life to Him, then in every circumstance, there are a multitude of choices that fall outside of sinful choices. And I have the freedom to make those choices. I have the freedom also to make sinful choices. But with the Holy Spirit being inside me as one who is submitting to Christ, these choices are flashing red to me to stay away. And these other choices are not. So in a way, as long as we are operating within the guidelines of submitting ourselves to God and trying to walk that path and avoid sinfulness and being aware of things, right? We have freedom to make these choices, and it's okay. We don't necessarily need to come in and sit down and have that discussion and have that that moment of, well, maybe I should wait for God to tell me which cereal to eat.
I'm just wondering, how's he going to tell you? Is he going to start jumping up and down like this?
Yeah.
You got two kinds out there.
Well, I hadn't thought of that.
But you got to make a choice and live by faith.
You do.
No matter what situation you're in, cereal or life decision, you just got to make a choice and live by faith.
I can't help it. Every time I try to think of inconsequential decisions, I always go to cereal. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but you've heard me mention cereal in here a lot. I do it frequently when I talk about, I usually say Cheerios. I usually talk about eating Cheerios. And we seldom eat Cheerios at home. So why in the world I choose Cheerios, I have no idea. But that seems to be where I land.
Well, if you think about the monks. Yeah, they live in a monastery, and all they do is read the Bible, pray, take a vow of silence. Who are they going to tell?
That's a great question. It's a good
one. They want everything right, but, you know,
they're not
invited to Christ because you can't even tell them.
No, how are they furthering the kingdom?
Yeah, that's for them, but, you know, that's as far as it goes.
That's as far as it goes. Yeah, that's a good point, Jim. I hadn't thought of that.
Maybe they're praying for everybody.
I'll take it. So I want to talk about this real quick because I found this kind of interesting. True submission like that defined by Stott goes against our human or sinful nature. I said, take Peter, for example. He had such a difficult time. Jesus even called him Satan. And I want to talk about this for a minute because it kind of, I think, puts in perspective what we do when we choose not to submit. So in Matthew 16, 21 through 23, very, very well-known passage here. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Go back to what we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. When Satan was tempting Christ in the wilderness, he was taking Bible verses, twisting them. And in a way, what he was trying to do was to go against who Jesus is. He was doing his best to essentially rebuke Jesus and say, you know, maybe you're not who you say you are. Maybe you're not the Son of God. You know, if you really are these things, then, of course, obviously, he's trying to get him to sin. In this situation, we have Peter, who is taking the words of Christ and saying, "I do not accept those things. I don't care what you just said. No, that's not going to happen." It was just like when Jesus was washing feet. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. Peter said, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." So again, Peter was saying, "Hey, I'm not going to submit to this. No, this is not how this is going to work. You are the king. How in the world can I sit here and let you wash my feet?" And Jesus is saying, look, again, go back to what John Stott said. We are giving everything over to Christ, his opinions and you know, everything. We need to submit to what it is that he is telling us to do. And in this case, Jesus is saying, you know what? You're just, Peter, you're just like Satan was. for tempting me in the wilderness. Look at what you're doing. You're not accepting who I am and what I have said as truth. And this is all about submission. And when he says, get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me. For you are setting your mind on the things of God, or not on the things of God, but on things of man. That's what throws us out of submission. That's what throws us out of the place where we are called to be as Christians. It's where we start to focus too much on the things of man, and we don't put our mind on the things of God.
When I can remember being a child, not knowing much about the Bible, and reading that, and I got to say, you know, when I read it, and even now, you know, there's a part of me that wants to cheer for Peter, you know, that he wants to protect Jesus from, even from himself, if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
And this wasn't enough, was it, what he said to him?
Yeah, and in the situation, he's trying to protect Jesus, even, like I said, from himself, and that's not what it was about. And it amazes me throughout Jesus' ministry how much the disciples, until he actually was resurrected, they still did not get it.
No, they still did not get it. And, you know, and then later on, what does Peter try to do? He tries to cut the ear off of the guard. I mean, there's just so many examples. I hate to pick on poor Peter, but he just stands out as someone who we look at this and we think in his mind, he's trying to do the right thing. And in reality, he's failing to submit to the words of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's failing to say, you know what? This is what my Lord said must happen. I don't know better than my Lord. And if I don't know better than my Lord, then I need to be quiet and just do what he told me to do. And I think that is a picture of the battle that we face day in and day out when it comes to studying God's word and making our decisions as to what we should do and how we should approach the challenges that we meet each and every day. Do I do what my Lord tells me to do and just submit? Or do I try to find my way to handle this situation? Do I try to find my way to serve the Lord? Maybe you're being called to serve in a certain capacity, and you're just resistant to it because you just think, I could never. How could I do that? And we forget how much of how many times in Scripture we see the Lord call people who are unequipped to serve and then equip them with what they need to do what they thought they never could. There's this, you know, Scripture's full of examples of God saying, I want you to do this. And people saying, what, are you kidding? I don't know how to do that. And God says, but it's okay. You're going to get through it. It's going to be fine.
Or you don't realize all of the situations that God put you in throughout your life.
That prepare you.
That prepared you for that.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I've said it before, it was Charles Stanley who said that it sounds crazy, but he says, if God has called you to run your head through a brick wall, you better know that before your head makes contact with that wall, he's going to put a hole there. And it's, you know, that sounds crazy, but his point is, regardless of what God truly calls you to do, he will make a way for it. Regardless. You know, are any of you doing something today that you thought you could never do, that God has called you to, and you found that he opened doors that you didn't even know existed when you just said, okay, I'll do it.
How much time do you have?
Yeah, there's... You've got several, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how hard is submission?
Incredibly difficult.
It is. And one of the reasons I think is because submission is so doggone scary. Because oftentimes it just requires us to, it's not blind faith, because God has shown us repeatedly through his word and through his works how we can trust him. So faith in God is never blind. But at the same time, we still can't see what's coming. And while it's not blind faith, the act of not knowing how God is going to deliver us, I mean, it may be death. It depends on the situation, right? But because we don't know how God is going to come through, that whole thing of not knowing causes a level of anxiety for us, which is why God tries to deal with that in his word, right? Stop worrying, people. Lose the anxiety, people. You can trust me. It's tough.
I look at it like you're driving down the road at 70 miles an hour. And you just climb out of the driver's seat. How you feel about that?
Yeah, but see, in that case, the car's probably going to crash. No.
So is your life?
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, if you don't have that faith, if you know.
Yeah. No, I used to say, people talk about stepping out on faith. I don't like that term. I like making a leap of faith, mm-hmm. because stepping out implies I'm keeping one foot over on solid ground and kind of feeling around with the other one. Which is usually what we're doing. Yeah. Yeah. We're like, is this good? Is this, I don't know, maybe, oh, okay.
Is this really what you want me to do?
That ice doesn't feel solid.
Yeah. Any situation I can think of, it's been as soon as I just let myself calm down and stop trying to have control over it, and he's probably back here laughing about it, is when the problem gets solved and you just don't even realize it. And we've been through it the last couple of months with something going on, and he looked at me one night and he said, "I can't control everything." I know, and just hearing that, I at least slept that night, because there have been several sleepless nights going through it, and then at least got some sleep that night. But it's like all through that whole process, little things were happening to kind of steer us in the right direction, and then everything went boom, and it was very clear what we were supposed to do in that moment. So, but it was after I had finally just relaxed and said, I can't do anything anymore.
Well, the thing that irritates me the most, and I'm honest, it irritates me, is that God never shows up early. You know, he shows up on time. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is I want to know in advance how it's going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's his time, not our time.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the challenge I have is, yeah, I don't have patience. And I'll sit here and tell you, of course I trust in the Lord. Of course I trust, but I want to know what you're going to do. You know? And it creates issues in that whole level of submission. Let's see if we can get through to. There's a lot. I have a lot of text in this that I don't know if we're gonna actually read through this morning. Let's see. Oh, I pulled this out talking about how this is kind of a bit of a synopsis about submission when it comes to submission to higher powers, and because there's a lot of different elements in scripture about submission, talking about the government and submission to leaders, and because God has placed authority, so I'm just kind of summarize this, but God has placed authority over us, and he's delegated that authority to different leaders. And that's why the scripture talks about how we should listen to our government and how we should listen to those who God has put in place, and trust the fact that since he has delegated his authority, there is something that we should be doing, and that is listening to those he has delegated. Now, this is something that I found interesting and I wanted to discuss. It says, you will notice that there are no caveats that distinguish between good or bad authority, or even just or unjust authority, at least in those scripture verses scenario I'm using to talk about how we should submit to authority. We are just to humble ourselves and obey as unto the Lord. I think there should be more to this. Because when I think about this, and I hear it almost leads us to say, well, you should just always obey authority regardless, because God has put them in power. But do we not have scriptural examples of when we should go against authority when they are going against the Lord? Do we not see that the disciples, when they are told, do not preach, do not do this, they say, we have no choice. We have been commanded to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it anyway, regardless of what the punishment is. Mm-hmm. So to me, I understand that they're trying to say that if God has put authorities in place and there are laws that you need to follow, you are to submit to that authority just as though you are submitting to the Lord. But we have examples where that's not entirely 100% how we're supposed to conduct ourselves.
Bonhoeffer.
Do you agree with that?
Yes, Bonhoeffer.
Hey, Bonhoeffer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I need to read some more of his stuff.
Came to my mind when you said that.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy who was willing to commit assassination as a pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. In order to stop evil.
You think that elections have consequences, but who controls the elections?
Who controls the elections, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Bible's pretty clear on that, isn't it? Yeah. And so the Lord puts people in power. And we can argue about it. We can do what it is we have, and we need to vote. We need to be involved in the process, because that's the process that God has put here for us to work with. But we also need to accept the outcome. Mm-hmm. You know, whether we agree with it or not.
Pray.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's right.
I was not a big fan of the former administration, you know, or several before that, but yet through the direction of a former pastor that I had, you would never have known who or what he was for. He prayed every Sunday. He prayed for whoever it was, you know, all of our leaders. So.
And that's what we're called to do.
I know. Sometimes we don't want to, though.
Let's see if this makes any sense. It made sense to me when I read it, so I want to share it. Maybe helpful to think of biblical submission in terms of a four-level division. I know this is kind of one of those, okay, here we go. But starting from the lowest level and moving to the highest, as I was reading through these levels, I'm going, okay, I get it. But it was what they said at the end that I thought was really wonderful. Level one, the lowest, most earthly level of submission, is involuntary. The forced submission of slaves to masters, oppressed people to tyrants, defeated nations to conquerors are example of involuntary submission. You have no choice. You're forced into this or you're going to be killed. Level two, this type of submission covers those roles that are temporary and voluntary. Given time, the roles will change. Children submit to their parents' authority, but a child will grow up to be an independent adult. Pupils submit to teachers, athletes to coaches, soldiers to commanding officers, and employees to bosses. Down the road, however, a pupil may become a teacher, an employee may become a boss, etc. So that is the different level of submission that is a temporary, and you're doing it voluntarily. Level three, this type of submission is more specifically biblical. It is voluntary and potentially lifelong, but not eternal. This includes ministers working within a church hierarchy, believers with spiritual gifts of serving or helps, citizens under government. And there are a lot of scripture verses here that do back this up. Talks about wives voluntarily submitting to the God-ordained authority of their husbands. So this is that third level. But then we get into this fourth level, and that's the highest level of submission. It's voluntary and it's eternal, and that is submission to God. We find it when the psalmist cries, I delight to do your will, oh my God. If that were our statement each and every morning when we wake up, if we could pray to God, Lord, I delight to do your will today. Show me what you want. Lead me in the direction you would have me go. And I will find delight in everything that you ask me to do. What an incredible attitude of submission. So the most glorious height a Christian can reach is in this life is to live out his or her submission to God by serving other people in love, doing, quote, nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, valuing others above yourselves. Philippians 2:3. This type of submission affects all other relationships as we are working for the Lord rather than for people. So when we reach this level of submission, everything that we do, every choice that we make, regardless of our circumstance, is something that we are trying to do for the Lord and not for people. And let me apply that to our jobs. When we are working at a job, we are still working for the Lord. We are not working for people in this sense, because if we are working for the Lord, then we are going to do the best absolute job that we can do. Because we are, as Christians, we want people to look upon us and see God and find that we give glory to him through what we do. So in our earthly jobs, we still need to be working for God, even though we are temporarily subjecting ourselves to those who are in authority over us. Our ultimate authority comes from God. And our decisions and the way we conduct ourselves and the way that we work for others, all of those things will come from the ultimate authority, God. It's that saying that my job is my resource, but God is my source. God can find many, many resources for me to have what I need, but he is my ultimate source where everything comes from, my guidance and the way that I live and what I do. But this I thought was very interesting. Jesus displayed all four levels of submission in his own life. He was God in the flesh, the almighty creator of the universe, yet he lived under the lowest level of submission under the authority of the Roman oppressors. He was obedient to his earthly parents. He acknowledged the authority of John the Baptist to baptize him in order to fulfill all righteousness. He humbled himself in washing his disciples' feet, and at the highest level of submission, Jesus showed his commitment to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. So Jesus was, as a man and as God, able to experience all of these four levels of submission. And what I loved about this so much is when we talk about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, being able to be our intercessor as we go through these challenges, he felt and dealt with the challenges of every level of submission that we go through on earth. We talk about how he experienced life in order to be able to intercede for us. But when you boil it down to these different levels of submission and the things that we deal with and the struggles that we feel, you have to realize that, and we know it from his prayer in Gethsemane, when he was asking if there's any way that this cup could pass from him, that yes, he was dedicated to the will of the Father, but as a man, he didn't want to. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to.
To the point of sweating blood.
Yeah. So he had to fight the desire, if you will, right, to not obey.
In the class I'm taking right now at Liberty, New Testament class, talks about how we may not realize it, but Jesus, every step that Jesus made in the latter half, like the Gospel of John, every step that Jesus made in the latter half of that gospel was a a self-determined path. He knew that he was going to push the Pharisees to have him executed. Mm-hmm. And he knew what all that meant. And yet he submitted to that, knowing that was God's plan.
Completely. And there are, I feel like we don't get that glimpse of how, of what a battle that must, because you think, Jesus is God. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things that, and we'll never fully understand it, that as man, he chose to not, well, like he tells Peter, could I not appeal to my father and have him send 12 legions of angels to take me out of this mess? Mm-hmm. Right? But he didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing.
Yes.
All right. That's my book of John. But nonetheless, we get that wonderful glimpse when he's praying of him going to the Father and saying, yeah, this, I would really rather not go through this. If there's any other way, this could be done. So don't think that when your physical desire is to go in the opposite direction of where God is calling you, that desire in and of itself is sinful. Because I think you got to look at Jesus and realize he had a desire for the cup to pass. And that was not sinful. Because he was willing to yield to the will of the Father. So as long as we are willing to yield to the will of the Father, and we go to God in prayer and seek the strength that we need to do what he has called us to do, and trust him as Jesus trusted him, to see him through what he was about to do, we will come out okay on the end. Now, Jesus suffered, he died. I mean, it was horrible, but he was doing it out of obedience and submission to the Father. And in the end, we know how it came out. And in the end, we know how it comes out for us, because he is the ultimate example for us across the board. Not just in how he walked and lived, but in what it means to submit and how it looks to be in submission, and where we will be in the future by submitting. I don't know, I think I've talked enough this morning. It's 10:44. Anybody else got anything they want to say in the last minute? As usual, the stuff I talked about, I didn't prepare half of it. This was that we kind of go with the flow, I appreciate your flexibility here. But just think about that as you feel called to do things in life. Think about it when you're trying to solve a problem. You know, think about it when things feel hopeless. We have someone who knows everything that we're going through, who has experienced all the challenges, and he experienced them at a far greater level than we ever will, because we will collapse. We will give in, and he did not. And we can come to him, and he understands. He understands. Anything else before we dismiss? Everybody's still awake. I appreciate that. I didn't know if that would happen. Yeah. Shannon, you're even awake.
I'm always awake.
Yeah. I usually can't see you very well, so I just picked on yours. Now I can see you very clearly.
Yeah, Josh is laying in the little room.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's dismiss this morning. See where things go. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for your word. Lord, we thank you for the lessons that we can learn by studying it. Father, just thank you so much for the example that Jesus has set for us. And Lord, help us to submit to you. Help us to realize what that means. And Lord, we know that we will fall, we will stumble, we will beat ourselves up. But Father, help us to focus on the things which are righteous and the things which are good, and to turn our thoughts away from the things of man and to turn them toward the things that are of God. And just help us to have the strength and to realize that when you call us to something, Lord, that you will also equip us. And Father, we are grateful that we can, again, sit here in a free world, in a free country, and to study your word and be in this wonderful church with this wonderful church family. Thanks again, Lord, for all that you've done. And Lord, we just ask that you'll be with us as we depart from this room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.